performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. I'm your host, Nick Urban, a Czech practitioner, data scientist, and holistic performance health coach. Every week, we explore ways to build your ultimate high-performance lifestyle. If you've optimized the basics of your everyday, like diet, sleep, exercise, and stress management, this episode will give you tools to improve your energy, memory, focus, motivation, mood, sleep, and much more. Our guest today is Greg Gostenkar. Greg is a certified brain health professional and the creator of Your Inception. Greg has finished multiple trainings and education in nutrition, brain science, sleep improvement, supplement development, biology, speed reading, memory improvement, and biochemistry. He is also a certified expert on brain biohacking from Emory University and Amen Clinic. He shares science-based biohacks that will help you optimize your brain and mental performance. He is an active contributor in the personal development industry and consults with multiple companies, market leaders, and startups. Some of the topics we get into include cognitive or brain enhancement practices, productivity tips and tricks, how Greg quickly enters the flow state, Greg's favorite ancient, natural, and powerful nootropics, the latest devices and technologies Greg's been playing with, how to design effective biohacking experiments to determine if your supplements actually work or are a waste of time and money, the power of the placebo or nocebo effects. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to all the products that Greg and I talk about. One last note before we get started. If you find this useful, please leave a rating on iTunes and or share it with a friend. That's what helps us get found and bring you great guests. On to the episode. I'm here today with Greg Gostenkar. Greg is a certified brain health professional and the creator of Your Inception. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me over, Nick.
Let's start off with the usual question. So far, what unusual or non-negotiable things have you done for your health and performance?
You mean today or in general?
Today.
Today? Well, that's a great question. Like one thing I've done more, like when I woke up pretty early, like at about, I think 6 or 5:30, something like that. And immediately when I woke up, I mean, today is Sunday here, but still, when I woke up, I started like counting down from like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And this kind of, you know, to create some kind of an urgency, you know, I woke up immediately, started counting down and then just went to the office, started working on the desk.
That countdown is a way of you beating procrastination and the want and need to just sit around, hang out in bed.
Exactly. Sometimes it really helps, you know, especially, I mean, for me, it works during the weekend, especially because usually I have like no pre-planned activities or at least no important things I have to work on. And when I do have, you know, I use this simple hack that helps me kind of increase my motivation. I heard about it. I don't know from whom, but I think it was like, one of the influencers, I think maybe it was, I think Adriana Huffington or like one of the, you know, high profile people, or I think it was one of the motivational videos. And I was like, you know what? This sounds kind of crazy, but maybe it works, you know? And so I tried it out and it seems to work quite well.
I like it. I use the same thing for other things outside of getting out of bed. Like if I want to do something that I know a little bit of extra time and I'll second guess myself and not do it, I'll use that same thing, countdown, usually from 3, maybe from 5 is better, not sure. And I'm much more likely to do it if I use that.
Yeah, that's cool, actually. I thought I was like the only one doing that, but obviously I'm not. That's cool.
So, Greg, what's your backstory? How did you get interested in the brain?
That's a great question. I mean, it all started when I was like in the early 20s. I was studying in Sweden at one of the best universities there. And what was, you know, I was doing master's degree in economics. And I had really like severe issues with focus. My memory was terrible. And I figured out like if I want to finish this, you know, class, if I want to get a master's degree, I have to change something. And the problem was that before that, so the years before that, my performance was, you know, really bad. I was constantly sick. I had like no energy, no motivation, visiting doctors way too often. So I figure out something is happening, something is wrong. And then, you know, there was a moment when I said I have to change something, but I wasn't really sure like what should I change. And then I actually started with the first thing I came across, you know, when I started researching about all the problems that I have and so on, I came across like this, one of the anti-candida books, you know. I was like, you know, what's that? Like, you know, is this, why is this popping up all over the place? And then I did the anti-candida diet, actually. That was kind of the first thing that got me into biohacking, in a way, at least. And then, you know, I started reading and learning about different types of food and then supplements. And then I went into biohacking. And yeah, you know, that was kind of at the early beginning. And in between, you know, in the early stage, I came across Tim Ferriss and his book, The 4-Hour Workweek, which also gave me some kind of a push. I think I'm not the only one who went into the biohacking in a way through Tim Ferriss back in the days. I mean, now there are other influencers out there known for that, but still. But I soon figured out, like, you know, whatever I do, whatever I change, I think I really have to focus on my brain, like in terms of diet, in terms of sleep, in terms of, you know, different kind of trainings, in supplements. And whenever, you know, I started, or like when I started doing more research and really trying new things, I really saw an improvement in my performance and so on.
Interesting that you started with the anti-candida diet. Usually people these days at least start with something like keto or paleo or veganism, plant-based, whatever. So anti-candida is a unique one.
I guess it is. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, my problem was that, as I said, I was often sick. I had like different kind of problems. I had headaches. I had high fever like every month. So my immune system was really bad. So when I was searching for those symptoms and what's causing them, that's why anti-candida came there. You know, that's why like that was one of the potential issues of those problems. Back then, I think it was like ketogenic diet wasn't that popular yet. Also, the you know the plant-based movement wasn't as strong as it is nowadays. I said, you know, it makes sense that there's some kind of a yeast causing all that.
Did you get good results from it?
Honestly, I did. Yeah, especially because I had to cut out sugar and unhealthy fats and processed foods. You know, that was kind of the first thing I did. You know, in this process, it was like terrible. I felt so bad for like 2 weeks, and I had to order like since I was in Sweden. The book that I was reading, you know, about the whole candida thing, was written by an American author. So I ordered all the supplements from her, and they, you know, they were shipped to me from the States. And I had so many issues like with the importing and all the stuff. I had to like, explain what's in. So it was really bad. But you know, when I went through the program, like it lasted for 3 months, I saw like what I can do just by changing my diet, and I was like, okay, I'm onto something, you know. And yeah. It works pretty well for me.
One thing you said a minute ago that I want to highlight is that you decided to focus on the brain because you realized it's one of those high leverage areas of focus. After all, like your brain influences the rest of your body, mental performance and physical performance. So Tell me more about what you started realizing as you began researching.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if your brain functions well, then your body can function well. And if not, even if you have some issues in your body, then you can probably somehow try to understand them. Like if your brain functions well, you can figure out like what's going on in your body. Whereas if the other way, you know, if your body functions well and your brain is not functioning well, then I guess you have more problems. So when I started researching, like I mean, I spent a lot of time researching nootropics and supplements, obviously, but I figure out like that it's so easy to impact different regions in your brain to you know, either, you know, do something that causes like problems in your brain, and just a small change, like even if you just like increase your sleep from like 6 to 7 hours per night or whatever, this can have such a profound effect on your brain performance. And because of that, like everything else becomes easier. You become either more focused or more productive. Your stress decreases. Everything kind of starts in your brain. At least that's how I see it.
On your quest to maximize the function of your brain and get the biggest bang for your buck, if you will, you probably came across what's called the flow state. And as I see it, it's the peak state to be in. Like, do you do anything to drop into that faster?
Absolutely. I mean, that was after I kind of improved my health and got some energy back. Then the next thing was, so I was still back in Sweden. So I was doing the master's degree. And at the same time, I started my first company. And that was, you know, I was living abroad. I didn't speak local language. I didn't know anyone. I was there alone. And I was still like pretty early, like pretty young. And I figured out like, if I want to, you know, achieve my goals that I had back then, I have to do something. I need either more time, which I'm probably not going to get in the same day. So there must be something else. And then I came across flow state and the peak performance and all of that. But then I started like learning about it, like trying to figure out how to get into this flow state faster. I really put some focus on how to get into flow state whenever I want to. So if I want to get in flow state from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. or to like whatever, in the afternoon or the evening, how can I do that? And then I just developed some basic protocols. Like for me, the best time to be in the flow state is in the morning from like 8 a.m. to about noon. So about 4 hours. This works, you know, really well for me. And I just follow the same routine in the morning, which obviously starts with the counting down from 5, 4, 3 and so on. Then I do some really basic things. So I go out on a short walk usually. I have a dog that I have to take her out anyway. So this helps. I meditate for about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes every morning before I work on anything. So I kind of, you know, try to become mindful. And then I write down like kind of the main task I want to achieve in the morning. And this task is very specific, or it has to be very specific. So let's say I want to write a blog post, and I say, you know, I have to write this blog post with so many words until noon, for example, so that I really know what I have to focus on. And I try to make this task as challenging as possible. So if it's like too easy task in the morning, then it's really hard to get in the flow. It has to be challenging enough for me.
Where do you draw the line between not challenging enough and too challenging?
Well, it's a great question. Honestly, it more often happens that it's not challenging enough than that it's too challenging. And even if it's too challenging, I mean, so whenever I work on something, I really have no idea how to do it. Then, you know, I try to, you know, separate this task into small tasks to make it easier for me. And then this over challenge or like super challenging tasks become much easier for me. After I know what I want to focus on, before I start working on it, I eat, you know, an energy boosting breakfast, or at least that's how I like to call it, to get the right nutrients for my brain performance. And in between, what happens usually, at least that's how I explain it, is since I know what I have to focus on, my mind subconsciously already tries to find a way how to tackle the problem, you know, or the task. Now, if this really happens or not, I don't know. But, you know, quite often when the task is too challenging, when I sit down after my breakfast, it's like I kind of know what I have to do. So I kind of, I know what's the first thing I have to do. So I think that this works in some way or another. Yeah. And then I sit down, put all the distractions away. This is like probably the most important thing you have to do. I was just reading this book about neuroscience, and it said like if you want to achieve peak focus, the biggest problem are all the distractions, you know. So I just put everything away, sit down, use like classical music, or like I use, you know, maybe you heard about Brain FM, the service, you know, I'm using it. I use like noise canceling headphones as well.
Is Brain FM just like traditional binaural beats, or is it something more advanced?
As far as I know, it's more advanced. So they use like binaural beats, but they also use different kind of effects. to kind of keep you focused for a longer period. Mm. They're working on a study right now. I just saw it like a couple of weeks ago. It should be a double-blind placebo-controlled study just to see, you know, they're trying to compare how effective their service is. At least from my experience, yeah, those things really help you, or help me at least get focused and stay focused, probably longer than without using some kind of music in the brain ground.
Do you have any particular healthy brain foods that you like that you've adapted to over time?
On most mornings, I go for, I eat like an oatmeal with blueberries, put cinnamon in. Cinnamon is great for focus. Sometimes I add some MCT oil on top just to get some healthy fats as well. If I'm making smoothie, which I often make as well, I put some broccoli in, some spinach, so some greens. Usually after I eat my breakfast, I take some supplements, some tropics as well. So I usually take them with or after food. And then I get the nutrients, I get the energy, so some glucose, some fats, the right nootropics. And
we'll talk more about the specific nootropics in a second. But before we do, you mentioned cinnamon, and also being an entrepreneur, you have tight deadlines. Sometimes you have to pull longer nights, wake up early, and of course, that cuts down on the total sleep you get. And since we both know that sleep is one of the most critical facets of performance, what do you do after days of suboptimal sleep?
First of all, I figure out that if I have one bad night, so that I sleep really badly, I can still perform the next day pretty well. But if I have like 2 days in a row, then I really struggle. What really works for me is a power nap, or like an afternoon nap that lasts about 20 minutes. So I tested all kind of different lengths, from 10 minutes to 20, 30, even 45 minutes. And I figured out that in most cases, like a 20 minute nap works the best for me. And I use this app called Pazis. I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, but...
I've heard of it.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, it's one of the apps, a really good one that helps me like fall asleep pretty quickly. And sometimes I go for a caffeine nap. So I'm not such a big fan of caffeine or like coffee in general, but sometimes I use it. And so I just drink like a small espresso just before I take a nap. And then if I take like, if the nap is a bit short, like 10 to 15 minutes, when I wake up from the nap, I get like a double boost of energy from caffeine that kicks in. And then, you know, from the nap as well, this works really well. So I basically restore the energy for the day. And this usually happens after my lunch, so like 2, 3, 4 p.m. But if I'm like really tired, if I was partying or whatever, and I couldn't sleep or I had something in the morning, then I just nap whenever I have time available. And then I'm good. So I restore the energy and then just follow with my normal routine. And all works well.
I'm sure people hearing this are going to be surprised that brain health and performance expert doesn't use caffeine or coffee. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But first of all, what are nootropics to you?
Well, to me, they're like, I mean, in general, they're cognitive enhancers, mainly, but not all of them are natural compounds that can affect different part of cognition. And many people see them as a shortcut to better performance, but they really aren't a shortcut. They're just like something that helps you. If you optimize different like crucial parts of your performance, if you optimize your diet, if you optimize your sleep, if you control your stress levels, and then you add the right nootropics to your protocol, or you know, you'll get this additional boost. Either in terms of more cognitive power or brain power, or maybe you will be able to control your stress a bit better, decrease your anxiety, or even improve your sleep. You know, that's what nootropics can do. But they're definitely not a shortcut to better performance. And they're definitely not like, you know, an alternative to healthy habits.
I recently interviewed Eric Levi from Holistic Nootropics, and we were talking about how you can add nootropics at any point for a boost, but if you wait and you optimize everything else first, then the nootropics have a much bigger, more pronounced effect. So sure, you can use it even when you're not living optimally after a big night of drinking and little sleep and recovery, but if you get it dialed and then you take it, it's night and day different.
Totally agree. Many people have certain issues with either their health, or like they sleep pretty badly or not long enough, or their diet is pretty bad. And then they say, oh, maybe there's nootropics can help me. You know, I take a couple of pills per day and that's it. You know, I can still sleep like 5 hours per night and, you know, that's it. And they don't feel any effects. And they're like reaching out to me saying, you know, what's happening? I pay like 50, 60, 70 bucks for the supplement. It doesn't do anything. And then usually ask them like, you know, how do you sleep? How well do you eat? What do you eat? And so on. And when they optimize this part, which is way more important than, you know, taking the right nootropics or supplements, then they're starting to feel the benefits that nootropics give. Now, of course, like with especially adaptogen herbs, like ashwagandha, for example, even if your health is not the best or your performance is not the best, or you have certain issues like, you know, anxiety or stress, then they can still help you out. I mean, that's why you take them in the first place. But to get the cognitive enhancement from nootropics, you really need to optimize your like different parts that we talked about. And the thing is, once you optimize them, you quite often don't need nootropics anymore, which is not so good for me because obviously I'm you know, researching and reviewing them and so on. But it's how it is. You know, if I'm totally honest, like many people, when they really take care of their diet and sleep and so on, they don't necessarily need to take at least not as many nootropics as others do, you know.
And once you have everything on point, then you can add nootropics in for big, important days when you need an extra boost. You don't necessarily need to use it day in, day out.
Exactly. Especially like certain compounds. I mean, I mentioned caffeine before. You don't have to take it every day. I mean, when there's like something important going on and you need like more energy than usually or more brain power, then you can take it. And then you can even take a bit higher dosage and combine it with other nootropics to avoid the side effects. And that's it. The only challenge with that is that certain nootropics take more time to provide the benefits. And I'm thinking of like Bacopa Moneri, which is an adaptogen herb, probably one of the most popular herbs for memory enhancement. It has some really strong studies that show or prove the effect of Bacopa Moneri. But all the studies that I read show that it takes about, I think, 5 to 6 weeks to see the benefits. Now, if you just take it now and then, it's really hard to say if, you know, Bacopa is going to work, but based on the studies, it's not going to work. So you need to take it daily for a longer period and then still take it for a while. And then you can, you know, cycle it a bit and not take it for a while again. So it really depends from one tropic to another.
Let's take a step back. What are the broader categories under nootropics? Like you mentioned adaptogens a second ago, there's the racetams. Like what else is in the family of nootropics?
Yeah, racetams are big. Like, I mean, they're like original, like racetam is like the original, the first nootropic that was developed. But racetams are synthetic compounds, man-made. So, yeah, I see them a bit differently. I mean, then you have mushrooms like reishi or like lion's mane mushroom. You have amino acids, which I also see as nootropics. And then you have like choline compounds, alpha GPC or cognizine. Then you have like different herbs, which are not adaptogens, and different like extracts from different herbs. Then there's, for example, maritime pine bark extract. And yeah, those are basically that I can remember right now. The way that I separate them are by their primary benefit. So I have like a list of all nootropics with all the potential benefits and the amount of studies that were done and how strong are the studies. And then there's usually like each nootropic has one primary benefit and then secondary benefits. And then I just like classify them by those benefits. And, you know, when people ask me about a particular compound, I look at it in the list, I say, okay, you know, that's the primary benefit that, you know, based on the current available research. And then I see, you know, I check some of the interactions and so on. And that's how I rank them. It's just slightly easier for me, at least.
Do they all have interactions to be wary of?
We don't know yet. That's a problem. I mean, there are like, I think on my list of nootropics, there are about 84 compounds. And many of them are under-researched.
And they're all under-researched in healthy populations.
Not all of them, but most of them, yeah. Most of them. I mean, I was just writing about one of the racetams today in the morning. That was the task I was working on, actually. and it's called aniracetam, pretty bubbler for like cognitive enhancement. But then I was looking at the studies, and I was like, I mean, they have like just like 3 or 4 studies that were done on humans, and even those 4 studies were done like on people with Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Even if there are some potential benefits, it doesn't mean like they do anything, or like aniracetam does anything to like a healthy population, or like the healthy people. So it's really hard to use this data. And then there are lots of studies done on mice and rats. I mean, and it's even harder to use this data. So there are many tropics like that. And that's why, I mean, many people, especially biohackers, they recommend like trying out different tropics, experimenting with them. But I'm more cautious, honestly, because it's really hard for me, at least, to recommend a particular compound to a person if this compound doesn't have enough research behind it, because you never know what's going to happen. And maybe even like if people feel better for like a while, you don't know what's going to happen like in 2, 5, 10, 20 years, right? That's a challenge. Yeah. I see. That's why, you know, I have like certain compounds. They're really effective, well-researched, safe at certain dosages. And then they have others who you can experiment with if you want to, but I mean, it's on people to decide if they want to do it.
Well, of course, after bringing that up, I have to ask, what are some of your favorite, the gems in that list you have?
Yeah, I should share this list with you, actually. So I love adaptogen herbs. They haven't been used in traditional medicine, Indian mainly, like Bacopa muniri. I love Bacopa for memory enhancement. Rhodiola rosea and ashwagandha for stress support.
I've heard that those two are a good combination together too.
They are. Actually, all of them are. They all of them work pretty well together. But yeah, rhodiola and ashwagandha especially. You can find rhodiola and ashwagandha in many like anti-stress supplements. So yeah, they work really well. Bacopa works well as well, but Bacopa can decrease your motivation. That's what I figured out before I even know that, you know, there's some research showing that. And I was like taking it at a very high dosage. And I was like, you know, what's happening? You know, I don't get the push, you know. So that's the issue with Bacopa. And then ginseng is another one, Panax ginseng. It has many benefits, but it can also like improve your mood. That's why many people take ginseng instead of taking caffeine. And then, you know, caffeine and L-theanine, the amino acids that is like found in green tea, for example, they work really well together. As whenever you need like a strong energy push, I recommend this combo, because in my opinion, it is the strongest for boosting energy. As I said before, I'm not like such a big fan of, you know, drinking coffee, or like I don't need it. That's the thing. It comes with some side effects.
That's one of the original stacks.
It is. Okay, it is like 100 milligrams of caffeine. I think it was like 200 milligrams of theanine. And you can still find it in many popular nootropics. But what's happening nowadays is many people, or like many companies, are removing caffeine, and they're like, you know, marketing the product like stimulant free. You know.
Have you tried any of the analogs of caffeine, like theacrine?
I did. I mean, obviously, you don't get the side effects, but there's some like potential legal issues. Especially in Europe, because I'm based in Europe. Oh. So I think theacrine is not allowed here. And there's another one. I don't remember the name, but it's like a similar, you know, compound than theacrine. Mm-hmm. It's also not allowed here. So yeah, it's still under research. So that's kind of the challenge. But yes, if you take like theacrine, or if you take caffeine with L-theanine, you won't get jittery or nervous, or like, you know, those typical caffeine side effects.
And doesn't theanine also increase alpha brainwaves? So it keeps you in a more focused, less like beta brainwave, distracted state?
Exactly. That's like kind of the main role. I mean, it also like improves like brain circulation. I think it increases GABA, the neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, L-theanine is pretty well-known compound, but it's really one of the strongest out there. I mean, yeah, that's why so many companies put it in as well, because it really, you can feel the effects. Because if you take like other compounds, like if you take certain mushrooms like lion's mane or reishi, I like this combination quite a lot. Or if you take like choline compounds, you know, like if you take alpha GPC, which is pretty popular in the States at least. I mean, some people say they feel some benefits, like some effects I don't. and it's, I think it's kind of hard to feel anything. But these are effective compounds that can improve like your memory, can improve your attention, you know. That's what they do. Since you don't feel the effects, or people don't feel the effects, they're like, hey, does this really work? And then you add a bit of caffeine and L-theanine into the stack, and people are happy, and they like to take the capsules every day. and they consequently get the effects of other compounds as well.
So those are your favorites?
Yeah, for cognitive enhancement and kind of a stress support, definitely. I mean, for sleep, I take magnesium, pretty basic.
Which form?
Three types of magnesium mixed together.
Nice.
But I have to check out the rate. I don't even know, actually, the ratios. I think it's like a glycinide. It's like, I don't know how it's pronounced, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one for sleep.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think, the higher dosage of all of them. What else?
What about fish oil or krill oil or one of those?
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent of taking vegan or plant-based omega-3. So it's really hard to know what's the quality of the fish oil, like, you know, where does it come from?
Yeah.
That's a challenge. And since, you know, Seaspiracy was produced, I mean, when many people, you know, wonder about that and check the quality and stuff. But yeah, omega-3 is like one of the must use supplements. In general, I think, especially if you look at the brain performance, you need omega-3 in your brain. And especially if you don't eat enough fish, or if you're on a plant-based diet, then you need to supplement it. I work with some people who have like different types of ADD or ADHD. And like the first thing you give them in the protocol is like a high amount of omega-3. The same is with depression, the same is with anxiety, like omega-3 is, and then it's just a question of like the ratio between EPA and DHA. That's what you play with. But the dosage is usually like 2 grams and up.
Oh, know? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
And for my listeners, 2 grams of fish oil tends to be a bunch of capsules, depending on the brand.
Yeah, it does depend on brand. I'm just working on with a local brand, actually. And they're just sending me some samples. And I think in this case, they're like 3 capsules.
Oh, it's not bad.
You can swallow that. But many people now use like version like omega-3 in oil. Basically just, you know, with the, I don't know how it's called, but you just like put it out on a spoon and then just swallow it, which is easier.
Does that oxidize faster?
I don't know, actually. I never use it. I use it like vitamin D3 and K2 in this form, but it probably does. It should, I guess. But yeah, that's something I have to check, actually. But yeah, omega-3, it's a must for not just like improving cognitive performance, but just like I say, for basic brain health, you know.
How do you go about quantifying the effects you're getting from either biohacks you're doing or these cognitive enhancing protocols?
Yeah, so that's been quite a big challenge for me, especially because, you know, when I started reviewing nootropics, I was like, I want to figure out what really works for me and what doesn't work, like what has no effect or maybe even like negative effect. And specifically for nootropics, my team and I developed a special review process, basically, where we look at about 50 factors. I mean, I'm talking about reviewing brands or products, you know, from specific brands. Part of that research or review process also include like looking at it, each individual compound. You know, what's the quality? What's the dosage? What does research say? And then what I've done is I tested each individual compound. Like I tested like most popular nootropics, which is about like maybe like 30 or 40 individual compounds that are like really popular right now, that are legal, you know, that's important and that they're considered safe. And then I basically designed different ways to measure the effects. For example, for like improving memory, or like nootropics that can improve memory and focus. I used, for example, the dual and back game, which is maybe your listeners know about it, but it's like a pretty challenging game for, yeah, improving your memory.
For assessing your current state.
Exactly. And then I used it, and then I compared the results like without taking the nootropic and then with taking the nootropic. And I repeated this for quite a while, for like at least 2 weeks. And then I was able to get some results out, and I was, you know, the easiest thing I was able to see in this case is like if a particular nootropic improved my focus and my attention, how I felt after like 20 minutes of exercise. Did I feel like stressed, tired, like fatigue or whatever, that kind of way. And then I'm always like writing down what happens before, after, and I just try to repeat this for a long enough period to kind of put out the chance of being influenced by placebo or whatever else.
And are you testing one ingredient at a time or sometimes multiple, one product?
In the very beginning, I tested a couple of supplements, so like nootropic sex. And then I figured out, okay, there's something happening here that's interesting. And then I tested individual compounds, individual ingredients, which I don't do anymore nowadays because I have the, you know, my experience. I know what happens. I mean, if there's like a new compound, like especially a new kind of branded ingredient that comes on the market, or if there's like some more research for a particular compound and people tell me like you have to try this one, then I still do it. But I tested most popular nootropics as individual compounds and try to understand what's happening. And during my trial of this, nootropics, I tried to do additional research about like what are supposed to do, you know, how did they make you feel, what people report, what are the studies behind them.
You said you do that before or after?
What do you mean?
You do the research on like the other anecdotes online from other users before you take it or after?
No, I did it after.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. That was when I was reviewing like individual compounds. Yeah, because I did it before. I mean, then I was like, okay, I have to focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, how this goes. Whereas, you know, when I review nootropic sex, I usually do everything kind of simultaneously. So I take a product. I just got like this really interesting product. I'm not going to tell you the name because I'm, you know, someone might say I'm promoting it, but I'll write about it soon. So I took like the capsules, about 5 capsules per day for a week. In between, I was writing my review, like, you know, all the basic stuff, how I feel, how it makes me feel, and so on. And then after like a week, before the review was finished, I started looking at the reviews of other people and so on. Because the thing is, with so much experience with all those compounds and all the research that we've done in terms of like checking the efficacy of nootropics and safety and so on, basically just looking at the table and comparing like, you know, what compounds are in a particular supplement and what should be in to get the effects. I mean, it's quite easy for me to know what will happen even without taking the capsules, because I mean, the science is there and you don't have to try the product to know what happens. At least most people, if I say like a particular nootropic stack is pretty strong, like it you really feel the effect, you get in a better mood or you're more focused, then based on my experience, like 95 or maybe 90% of people feel the same effect. But there are always like a minority of people who don't feel anything because of different reasons. You know?
Yeah, we all have unique neurochemistries and it only makes sense that what works great for me might not work great for you, but there'll be some overlap in other things.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah.
Do you use any other forms of cognitive enhancement technologies or products?
Well, yeah, I'm constantly trying new things. I've been just experimenting with Muse, the device for like neurofeedback and meditation. So it's basically helps you train your brain to get in the right alpha state or like the right, well, brain wave kind of, you know.
So it enhances your brainwave entrainment efforts. So it makes like meditation more effective.
Exactly. Well, you explained it much better than I did. That's what I've been trying, like experimenting with recently. There's another device that I have somewhere, it should be here somewhere. It's called Sensate, and it stimulates your like vagus nerve. Basically, I used it during meditation, and it really helped me become like calmer. For whatever reason, I mean, I was really surprised by the effect. Because usually like with those gadgets and devices, you know, it's like, you know, hit and miss. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't really do anything.
What about in times of conflict or whenever like you're in sympathetic but don't want to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I mean, I use different kind of like breathing exercises for that. Diaphragmatic breathing, or like I call it 5x2 breathing. When you like breathe in for 5 seconds, you hold your breath for 2 seconds, you breathe out for 5 seconds, and you hold your breath for 2 seconds again. You repeat this, I mean, you immediately become calmer, and especially if you're like stressed or, you know, whatever, this works really well. And I'm a big fan of Oura Ring. I have to tell you that. I use it for tracking my sleep. Even though recently I've been sleeping without it because I figure out with the way I look at the results every morning, sometimes I think I felt better, but then I see like a bad score. I'm like, shit, you know, I should be tired right now. That's one of the issues I have with all those biohacking gadgets, you know? I don't know, what's your experience with that?
Exactly the same. I've complained to people around me who are willing to listen that I like it. Sometimes it shows me really cool things, but a lot of times, like, since your fingers change size, they swell based on sodium and all kinds of different factors. Sometimes I'll get inaccurate data. Like sometimes there'll be big data gaps where the ring just doesn't measure anything. I'll wake up thinking I slept great. I'll check the app and it'll be like a 60 sleep score. I'm like, wait, 60 out of 100? It was a great night of sleep. And then I'll see the data gap and it makes sense. So I'm a little wary, and I used to check it in the morning and now I pushed it off until like afternoon. I'll check it before I go train, but I don't want to get my start to the day thinking I slept great and then just being bummed out via like the nocebo effect, the opposite of placebo, and let that ruin my day.
Actually, I'm happy to hear about that because I thought I was, again, the only one who was like, I have this cool gadget. It works really well. I like the, you know, the way that they made it. But at the same time, I think it sometimes really, you know, does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. And I think that's generally an issue with many devices, you know, not especially like biohacking gear or, you know, biohacking gadgets.
I recently tried something called the BioStrap, and it's a wrist-worn wearable, and they use a red LED instead of the traditional green that most wearables use. And I found that my sleep data was very accurate, more accurate than my Aura, but ultimately I already wear a watch for training. I liked it, but ultimately too much to wear two watches.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, with all those gadgets available in the market, with all those products and protocols and supplements, and I mean, there's just too many things. And then, like, I guess many people, I mean, I was one of those, I have to admit. And I was just like, you know, constantly, you know, checking my performance, you know, checking my sleep, trying to improve my health, my performance, focus, whatnot, you know. And I just became obsessed with it in a way. I mean, it's a good obsession to have compared to many other things, but I mean, you're still obsessed. You're always like worrying. And I became like less social even because of that, because I knew like my optimal time to get to bed is like 10 PM. Mm-hmm. That's it. But all this tracking can come with negative effects. You know, it can affect your life in a way that it wasn't designed to, or it wasn't meant to. And I think we need to be careful about it. I guess, in my opinion, it's just better to, you know, wake up, go outside, go to the nature, go to the forest, breathe fresh air, walk around with people you like, do some basic things to become mindful of what's happening, instead of using all those gadgets to trying to constantly improve yourself. In general, yes, you need to. I think many people do want to do that, and I'm a big proponent of that, but there has to be kind of a fine line, you know.
Every quarter, I will do a inventory of the things I'm doing, the things I have, podcasts I'm subscribed to, the blogs I follow. Everything gets vetted at regular intervals. And if it stops having importance in my life, then I remove it.
That's a super smart strategy. I think I'm going to do the same thing now. It'll make sense. Yeah, because there are just too many things. And then I remember once, and it wasn't that long ago, I mean, I woke up, I had this morning routine set up. And it took me like 2 hours to go for it. I was like, so I woke up like at 6 o'clock and it was like 8 o'clock all of a sudden. And that didn't include breakfast and didn't include some other things, you know? And I was like 8:30 or 9 o'clock that I, you know, came to the office. And then I was focused for 3 hours. All of a sudden I was like, okay, where does my day go? Like I do so many things just to try to optimize performance, but then I don't have any time for performance. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And that's the thing, like there's so many strategies that can help you out in different stages or with different problems. You should try some new things, obviously, but I think it's more about, you know, doing certain things, like you said, some crucial, like central important things that really help you out, support your health, support your performance, support whatever they need to support. And then sticking to them and occasionally adding a new thing that is maybe more effective or better, or when you want to try it, you do it. You shouldn't just buy everything, take all the supplements, because it's not going to end well.
So in that case, what are you interested in? Maybe not gadgets, maybe it is gadgets, maybe it's time, silence, quiet.
I'm still spending a lot of time researching brain and brain performance. I'm trying to make like kind of a, I call it an advanced protocol to optimal brain performance. I'm working on an online course actually, which should be ready soon. But I'm really trying to see what can people do who have different issues, usually like either lack of cognitive performance or issues with stress and anxiety. Those are kind of the two main groups that I work with. And I'm trying to develop two different or design two different protocols that will help you help them get like optimize the, you know, their brain performance and get towards the results they want to get to. That's kind of the main thing. And secondary, like, I mean, I used to live in a city for like quite many years, like 7 or 8 even. And I moved to the nature, like pretty close to the nature. I'm like outside of the city. So I'm trying to be more present, trying to spend more time in the nature. I'm trying to avoid more distractions. I'm trying to spend more time alone or with, you know, people I want to be with. But in terms of, you know, when I go out, try to be alone a bit more. I'm trying to connect to myself a bit. I mean, this all sounds very unscientific, but trying to connect to myself a bit more.
That's the best way to reach peak performance. It's to merge the unscientific, the personal experience, with the scientific.
Totally agree. And I mean, I've been now, like, for the past month, I lived in this small house on a countryside. It's funny how I started feeling like, I mean, this sounds really weird, but like, I know before something's going to happen, I feel something's going to happen, you know what I mean? Like, I became more connected to myself because I mean, in the city, like, there are all those noises, all those things buzzing around me all the time. And I just kind of lost the sense. And I'm getting this back. I really love it. And yeah, like you said, this is one of the crucial things of peak performance. It's not just about supplements and gadgets and biohacks, but it's the core thing, the basic thing. To be mindful, to be present, to be satisfied with what you have. That's really important.
Greg, where can those that are interested connect with you, find your course or your reviews and website?
Yeah, all my stuff is published on yourinception.com on my website. I have an Instagram, yourinception, Facebook, yourinception. If people go to my YouTube channel, I'm pretty cool, subscribe there. Again, your inception. and that's all the stuff will be my course that will publish soon and other things that we've been secretly working on for the past weeks and months.
Nice. And this will all be in the show notes as well.
Perfect.
Greg, I have a couple final questions for you. Are you ready for a lightning round?
Go ahead.
Imagine that all knowledge on Earth is lost and you get to keep the 3 most meaningful works or teachers. It can be books, podcasts, interviews of some sort. What would you choose?
That's a great question. One book that would be is Ego is Our Biggest Enemy. I think it was written by Ryan Holiday. That's like, you know, a must read book in today's time because, you know, I think there's so much ego and, you know, we really can't control ourselves. And that would be something I would recommend to everyone. Another website/author/researcher or in a book, Michael Greger, How Not to Die. He's, well, not that known in the hacking community because he's like more like focused on plant-based and so on. But he's, in my opinion, the best researcher out there, at least. He has like a big team that checks like all the available studies, which many biohackers don't do. And then he makes certain claims based on all the studies and all the know-how that exists right now. And then the last thing would be, it's called The Leading Brain. I don't remember the name of the authors. They're like 2 German neuroscientists. But it's like a step-by-step guide to peak performance. And they introduce like the DNA of peak performance, like so many cool things, like protocols, hacks, tools, and so on. So that's something I would recommend to read, definitely.
Those all sound like interesting ones to check out. I've read Ego is the Enemy and Ryan Holiday's other books, and I found that Ego is the Enemy was the most relevant to where I am in my life and career.
That's amazing to hear. I think many people who read it will feel the same.
Greg, how would you like to conclude our journey together today?
I guess I want to give some basic tips to people. If you want to like improve or enhance your cognitive performance, people should really focus on the basic things, right? Diet is probably the most crucial thing. And sleep is super crucial. Controlling stress is super crucial. And if you take out those three things, I mean, your performance will skyrocket. And I think that people should really remember that. If you do only those three things, I mean, you're good. I mean, you'll be among like, you know, if you focus on that, I mean, you'll be in like among maybe 1-5% of people who have like this amazing performance, health, and feel really, really good. And once you get there, you'll see you don't really need all those cool gadgets or supplements or nootropics and so on. But you can still use them, the right nootropics, the right compounds, achieve peak performance whenever you need it, or that can support your health in the best way. And that's what I would recommend to everyone. So don't just search for the shortcuts, for the quick fixes, because there aren't any.
Thanks so much, Greg. It's been a pleasure meeting you and your work at yourinception.com.
Thanks, Nick. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.